Now they came to Jericho, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. Now they came to Jericho, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Let's just bow our heads, let's pray, shall we? Gracious Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to come together and gather together in the name of your Son, and to lift up his great name, and to honour you, Heavenly Father, Lord, through the singing of these hymns and worship songs. And Lord God, we thank you that all of these spiritual songs have the effect of focusing our hearts and our minds and our faith upon the Lord Jesus and the great salvation that you have wrought for your people through him. And Lord God, we're so thankful to you for him. And Lord God, indeed he is the great Saviour, the great Deliverer, the one who's rescued us from the dominion of darkness, opened our blind eyes and caused us to see truth as it really is, truth about ourselves, truth about you, truth about the way of salvation. And Lord God, you lead us in your truth, and we thank you for that. And we just pray as we consider your word together in this passage that I'm sure is so familiar to all of us, I just pray you'll come again by your Holy Spirit and speak to our hearts, we pray, and encourage us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, the account of the healing of blind Bartimaeus, and it's a great story, isn't it? I love the story of, who doesn't love the story of the healing of blind Bartimaeus? And of course, when I say story, I don't mean story as the world means story. They mean some kind of a tale that isn't true. This is a true account of the healing of a blind man. And if you just look at the passage from that point of view, you know, it surely causes us to consider how staggering and how great is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That with a word he can open the eyes of the blind. I mean, that itself is amazing. But of course, there's so much more to this passage and other similar passages than just the physical healing. The physical healing is itself a marvel and an event that really happened. But of course, there is another side to this. And it speaks, I think, of what Christ does for everyone who is saved. You see, there was a time in our life that we were all in spiritual darkness. Some of us might have been brought up in had the privilege of being brought up in a Christian home and taught about Jesus from being young. But we were still in darkness until the Lord opened our eyes. And of course, a number of the hymn writers have kind of taken up this theme, and there's a number of hymns that just came to my mind. And for example, there's the chorus of that hymn, and it says, at the cross where I first saw the light, and where the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. And the hymn writer's not talking about physical sight, he's talking about his spiritual sight. And of course, Alex led us in a new version of Amazing Grace. And the words of that song by John Newton are, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." And again, John Newton wasn't physically blind, but he was talking about the spiritual blindness that had marred his life up until the point when God touched his life with that amazing grace. Anybody know what hymn this verse is from? This is a particular favourite hymn of mine, and one verse says this: "Hear him, ye deaf, his praise ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Saviour come, and leap ye lame for joy. That's kind of ringing a bit, isn't it? Nobody know what that's from. All for a thousand tongues to sing. Ye blind, behold your Saviour come, and leap ye lame for joy. You see, what Charles Wesley's commenting on there is all these conditions, deafness and dumbness and lameness and blindness, we read it all in the Gospels. And Jesus healed them all, amen, physically. Amen. But every one of them has a spiritual connotation. So I want us to begin this evening by thinking about this man, Bartimaeus, and what life must have been like for him before his encounter here with the Lord Jesus. And it's as we meet him in this passage, he's sitting by the roadside just outside Jericho, and what he's doing, he's begging. Because you see, he's blind. I'm not sure he's been blind all his life, but that's all he can do. He can't fulfill a normal job, he's blind. And so all his day consists of is sitting by the roadside in his spot, and he begs. What a sad and sorry picture that is of a person's life. And what I try to do when I read the scriptures, I try to put myself in the position of the person that I'm reading about. And so what I want you to try and do this evening is imagine what it would be like to be Bartimaeus. Imagine what it would be like to be blind. Now, I could ask everybody to close their eyes. I'm not going to do that. You can do that if you want. But you've done it before. You know what it's like. If you close your eyes and we turned all the lights off, you just imagine for a minute what it would be like to be blind. And it would be awful, wouldn't it? To live your life like, of course, we can do that. We can shut our eyes, and then later on we can open them, and all will be well. And even if we chose to, you know, blindfold somebody for the evening, you know, we're here in this warm room, surrounded by friends, and you know, you're going to have somebody to guide you around all evening. You're going to have a friend to guide, so you're not going to worry too much. But imagine what life was like for somebody like Bartimaeus. And he's blind permanently. So all he can do is call out to people he can't see, and for the most part he doesn't even know. He's got to call out to people he can't see and he doesn't know to help him. And that's what life was like for Bartimaeus. He had to beg from people he couldn't see. He had to ask for help from people, for the most part, he didn't know. And he couldn't see if anyone was sneaking up on him to rob him. He couldn't see that. That's what life was like for Bartimaeus. What a dreadful position he was in, physically. That was bad enough. But just imagine now, if everyone else around Bartimaeus was also blind. I mean, actually, Matthew's Gospel, in the account, says there were two blind men, so there was another blind man. But imagine if everyone around him was blind. The whole community of Jericho was blind. So the only people he could call out to help him or to guide him, they were all also blind. What a dreadful situation that would be. You will have the blind leading the blind, as Jesus put it in Matthew 15. Terrible, that, wasn't it? But you know what? That's exactly what it's like spiritually for the sinner in this world. Spiritually, they're in darkness. Blind. Cannot see the way ahead. Cannot really see and know the truth. Cannot know God. Cannot see God. Cannot see Christ. Cannot see any of it. And the trouble is, the vast majority of people around them are also in spiritual blindness. And of course, whether people like to admit it or not, everybody's crying out for help. Everybody wants someone to give them advice or give them guidance of some sort. Everybody does. And in fact, we're coming up to a general election, and really that's what that's all about. You know, people are going to cast the vote. And they're going to put the cross next to the name of the person they think is going to be best help for themselves or the country, I guess. You know, And I know why you're smiling, Heather, because it's like, you know, for most people it's like, well, who do I pick? You know, I mean, but that's what it is, isn't it? You know, people are going to choose the person they think is perhaps best going to help somehow. And that's just politics. Of course, there's all sorts of other people in society who are offering advice, and bizarrely people take it. I mean, from the sort of person who heads up some chat show on the television, they are offering advice. And I just, it staggers my mind. Well, the place I used to work at, they used to have this program on, the Jeremy Kyle Show. And it is the most horrible program. I understand the man does some problem later on with that. But the things that would be, you know, and in a sense, this man was set up as someone to kind of offer guidance, it would appear, to people. And I suppose there are people in society who look to the chat show hosts for guidance. And I don't mean any disrespect to them, what's blind leading the blind? And then, of course, there's the psychotherapists and the psychologists and the psychiatrists. They are offering advice to people, offering counsel to people. All kinds of people offering advice. And then, of course, there's the religions and the religious leaders of this world. They offer people guidance. They offer people advice. But does it help? Really? I mean, spiritually, I mean. Does it really open the eyes of the blind? Well, as a matter of fact, it doesn't. In fact, if anything, the religions of this world, once a people embraces something like that, they're actually in greater blindness. They're in a worse position. I'll tell you for why. Because they're still in darkness, spiritually, but the trouble is, now they've embraced the teaching of this religion, they think they see. They think they have the truth. They think they can see clearly now to show someone else the way to go. So in a sense, they're double blind. It's a kind of self-delusion. They're blind, but they think they can see. Imagine how pathetic would be the position of a physically blind man who had convinced himself he could see. How sad that would be. It would be like the greatest self-delusion imaginable. And then there's the political and ideological guides in this world. They all have the advice to offer, and people follow their advice. And I suppose some of that, you know, brings about changes in society in some way or another, or change in the environment, but people are still spiritually blind. So Bartimaeus is physically blind, and he cannot see. But on this particular day, into this dreadful scenario comes a marvellous ray of hope for Bartimaeus. In fact, when I say a marvellous ray of hope, it's actually the only hope. It's the greatest hope. And on this day, Jesus had come to Bartimaeus' town. And we read that Bartimaeus cried out to Jesus. And when I read a passage like this, first question I ask myself is, how did he know? How did Bartimaeus actually know that Jesus had come to town? How did he know who Jesus was? And you know, my guess is, as a blind man, sitting by the road, and there's a crowd surrounding Jesus, my guess is he heard. He picked up the name of Jesus. He heard the people talking, and I guess he could sense, he could pick up the excitement. He could pick up the commotion, and he picked up the name of Jesus. Jesus is in town. But you know what? Just hearing that Jesus was in town itself wasn't enough to open that man's blind eyes. Good news that Jesus is in town, but he would need a little bit more than that. He'd need a lot more than that. Next thing, we're told in Luke's Gospel, which is actually a fuller account of this, it tells us in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 36, that Bartimaeus asked somebody what was happening. And they told Bartimaeus, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. So someone told him it was Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth is here. And of course, that's good news. Someone had told him what the commotion is about, what the excitement is about. Jesus is in town. And that's absolutely fantastic that somebody told him Jesus is here. But you know what? That alone wouldn't open the blind eyes of Bartimaeus, knowing that Jesus was here. He had to know who Jesus was, is. He had to have faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it seems to me when I read this passage, he had that, Bartimaeus. How do I know? Because of the way that he addressed Jesus. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And of course, you know that Son of David is a messianic term. So it's a term that the Jews used for the coming Messiah. So this man Bartimaeus believes in his heart that Jesus is the Messiah of Israel. He's the Saviour of Israel, the Saviour of the world. And he's come. So Bartimaeus has faith in Jesus. So all I can assume is that somebody, either on this day or some previous day, had told Bartimaeus about Jesus of Nazareth, had perhaps told Bartimaeus about the things that Jesus was doing and the things that Jesus was saying and his teaching and his miracles, and something inside Bartimaeus clicked. Something inside of Bartimaeus told him, this truly is the Messiah. This is the Saviour of Israel. Oh, for the day when he comes to Jericho. And now the day has come. And faith is already there in his heart. So what does he do? He cries out. He cries out to Jesus with all of his might, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Son of David, have mercy on me. And that's the cry of faith. And it's because of that his eyes were open. And you know, the sad thing about this passage is, of course, when he began to cry out, Bartimaeus, some people warned him to shut up. Some people told him to keep silent. It would appear that there were some in the crowd who wanted to keep Bartimaeus from getting to Jesus. Isn't that extraordinary? And it doesn't actually tell us who these people were. Although in Luke's Gospel it says they went before Jesus. So whether they classed themselves as his disciples, or whether it was just some crowd that had attached themselves to Jesus and his disciples, I'm not quite sure. But I do think that there's a kind of reflection here upon the church that sometimes has actually had the effect of keeping people away from Jesus rather than pointing people and bringing people to Jesus. And that's all. I'm not talking about necessarily the true church of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about that purports to be the church. Has had more of an effect of putting people off than drawing people to Jesus. What's the commission? Well, we're supposed to tell people Jesus is here. Jesus has come. And we're supposed to tell people who Jesus is. We're supposed to do everything within our power as the Lord enables us to bring people to Jesus and pray. And do you know what? That's all we can do as human beings. We do. We take every opportunity the Lord gives us, whether that's by word, by testimony, by giving tracts, by inviting people along, or whatever it is, we use every opportunity to try and bring people to the Lord, and we pray for them. What we can't do is actually open the eyes of the blind spiritually. We can't do that. What we can't do is convert a soul. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. But you see, the thing about this passage is, it seems to me, that the Holy Spirit is working in this man's life. And when God begins to do a work of grace in a person's heart, when the Holy Spirit is drawing that person to Christ, You know, it surely is the truth that there is nothing that will keep that person from coming to Jesus. So, in this passage, Bartimaeus cries out to Jesus, and other people are saying, be quiet. But what does it say? He cried out all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. There's nothing going to stop him from coming. I remember Alex's testimony last night when he shared his testimony at the beginning. And he said there, he said it was at a Billy Graham rally in 1954. And he said, some people say Billy Graham's converts don't last. And he said, well, that may be so. He said, but I'm not one of Billy Graham's converts. I'm a convert of the sovereign God. And Billy Graham was the instrument sovereign God used on that occasion to call me. And he said this. He says, I was a 14-year-old boy. He said, but somebody had invited me to this occasion. And when I heard that man preach, he said, it was like a trumpet was sounding in my heart. And when he said, God loves you, I knew that was, he was speaking to me. And when he said, Jesus died for your sins, I knew that was for me. And interestingly, when the altar call came and folks were asked to come to the front, something inside of him wanted to go. And he said to his mate, let's go down to his front. And his mate wouldn't come. And he said, come on, let's go to the front. No, I'm not coming. But he did. Why? I've only got one answer to that. On that occasion, I don't know what happened to his mate later. Maybe on another occasion, maybe he did come to know the Lord. But on this occasion, the Holy Spirit was drawing Alec. I think that's all you can say. And you see, when the Holy Spirit begins to draw, then you see, there's nothing going to hold that person back. And Bartimaeus won't be quiet. And so, and remember, this is in the middle of a big crowd. There's a huge commotion going on. But in the midst of all the noise and all the cries and all the shouts, Jesus heard the voice of that one man and said, bring him to me. And you know, that's so lovely because, you know, right now, all over the world, there's probably millions of people calling out to the Lord. All over the world. And if you pray, he hears you. In the midst of all the rest of it, he hears you. And Jesus said, bring him to me. And then Jesus asked him a most unusual question, given the circumstances. What do you want me to do for you? You know, you would have thought, well, it's obvious. He's blind. But you see, it's the person who asks in faith that receives. Ask and you will receive. You know, the Lord knows what we need before we ask. He wants you to ask anyway. So Bartimaeus says, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And what does it say? Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. Immediately, he was healed. Amen. I think that's what it does say in Luke's Gospel. It says, Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well, and immediately he received his sight, it says. Jesus didn't say to him, okay then, Bartimaeus, you want to receive your sight? Well, I'll tell you what, if you can behave yourself for 12 months, you know, keep your slate clean, you know, don't misbehave, go to the synagogue every Sabbath, make sure you get everything together, then in 12 months' time I'll come back and we'll sort your sight out. No, immediately he received his sight. You know, whenever a sinner cries out to Jesus in simple faith, immediately they receive the sight. And the story doesn't end there, because what it actually says is, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. In other words, Bartimaeus didn't go back to his begging bowl. He didn't go and sit by the side of the road and say, cheers Jesus, I've got my sight now, I'll carry on begging. He had a whole new life before him. And he followed Jesus from that day on. He followed Jesus. And that's what all those do who Jesus gives the sight. And he heals their sin sick soul. He gives them a new life and they follow him. And I'm not saying they don't stumble from time to time. I'm not saying they don't make mistakes, but they follow him. And they're determined to follow him. And you think of the difference between Bartimaeus' life before his encounter with Jesus and after. Before, it was a life in darkness. After, it was a life surrounded with light. And he walked with Jesus in the light. And I have a theory about some of the characters that we meet in the Gospels. And it's because of the familiarity with which the writers write about them. They write about Bartimaeus as if, you know Bartimaeus, everybody knows Bartimaeus. I think these became principal, much loved characters within the early church. So Mark and Luke, they could write about Bartimaeus and everybody would immediately know, I know Bartimaeus. And they knew what his life consisted of. And similarly with other people we meet in the Gospels. They were people who the early church knew. And they knew that the life after their encounter with Jesus was different from the life before. Well, I trust that you met him. And I trust we're all here this evening as people whose spiritual eyes have been opened, who once were blind, but now we see. Amen. Well, let's just close with prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for the lovely record of people like Bartimaeus, who one day, Lord God, we're going to meet him in glory. And Lord God, we can ask him ourselves how it went with him. And Lord God, and Lord, we know what the answer is. That Lord God, when he met you, Lord God, he believed in you, he loved you, and he followed you for the rest of his life. And Lord God, we don't read any more about the man after this. But Lord God, we read enough here to realise that he's a person whose example we can emulate. And I pray that, Lord God, in our life, that Lord God, we would just enjoy living in the light and not, as it were, listen to the temptation to go back to our begging bowl and live on the meagre givings of a world that's in darkness. But Lord God, that we would just enjoy the light and life that you give us, and help us to follow you with all of our hearts and to live our lives to glorify you. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.